is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. So be glad and rejoice tonight, for I am in your midst and I am moving like that river. It's a river of life, a river of blessing. So get in the river and get in the flow, and I will help you grow. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you need something from God, you need him to do something, you need him to give you something, well, you know, you're in the right place tonight. Amen. And we're going to talk about how we can receive from God. You know that our God is the greatest giver of all. It is in his nature to give. And he especially likes to connect with receivers. And, you know, when we understand what's available to us in God's word, we've got to desire it, and we've got to know how to receive it, don't we? I don't just want to hear about it. I want to receive it. And, you know, receiving God's promises is as receiving anything else in the natural world. How many has ever received a pizza? How many has ever received a letter? Isn't it amazing how you can put an address and a stamp on a letter and it gets to its destination? Doesn't matter the weather, you know. It may take a couple days extra, but it gets there. And but receiving from God's promises is just like those things. Just like receiving a pizza that you ordered. It's just like receiving a letter that someone sent you. Now we use email, which is even faster, or text, which is even faster. You know, it's, what do they call that, now, or right now time, or I don't know the term to describe that right at the moment. But, you know, when we've learned that we can have an abundant life, Jesus said, the thief come not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life more abundantly. How many want that abundant life? I want that more abundant life that Jesus promised. And so it doesn't do us any good to know that it exists, but we need to know how to receive it. We need to know how to have it and to possess it. So go with me to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at some examples tonight of how we can receive from God. Say, I'm a receiver. Say, I've come here tonight to receive something from God that I need. Now, it doesn't matter the need. You know, God doesn't, you know, he's not moved by the need. Because how many know there's a lot of people in this world that have needs? So what is God moved by? I mean, he wants to meet the need, but but you're right. He meets the need through faith. Okay? Mark chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 22 through 24. Now, Jesus is talking here, and he says to his disciples, Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. So let's just take a moment right there. Where does your faith need to be? It needs to be in God, right? He didn't say have faith in your feelings, did he? He didn't say have faith in the number of people that are praying for you. He didn't say have faith in your opinion, did he? He said have faith in God. What he's saying is, have the God kind of faith, or have the faith that comes from God. How many know God created this world by faith? Everything that God did, he did it by faith, okay? And we can have the same faith that God operates in. He gives us his faith, and his faith is in him. It's in his person, his character, his nature. How many know that God can't fail? And God can't lie. So God is someone that you can trust in. Now he goes on to say, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Isn't it awesome that we can have whatever we say? Well, that's not too awesome if we're saying negative things, is it? But this is a scriptural truth that works both for the positive and for the negative. All right, let's go to verse 24, which is really the heart of what we want to cover tonight. Therefore, I say unto you. So Jesus is talking here. He's giving us his word directly. What things? How many desire some things? You know? What things soever you desire. Okay? You have a desire. You have a need. Your desire is to get that need filled. Your desire is to have that need met. Your desire is to complete that task, get that thing accomplished, for that thing to materialize. So he says, what things soever you desire. Now he doesn't put a limit on the things, does he? When you pray, there's one thing that you need to do when you pray. What is it? Believe what? Believe you receive and you shall have. Okay? Now, I'm going to do a little test here. How many like money? If I was to tell you, I want to give someone a dollar, would that be a good thing? Okay. Do you believe that I'm able to do that? Do you believe that I want to do that, that it's my will for you to have a dollar? Okay. So the first one that comes up here, they can have that dollar. Now, I want you to notice something. There was an opportunity presented, and it was to everybody, right? But only the first one that came up here became a receiver. See, now Les received that dollar. But he had to do something in order to receive it. And the simple instruction was, whoever comes up here first gets to receive that dollar. Now, how come none of the rest of you got out of your seat? Because Les believed he received. Now, I didn't see if he looked back to see if anybody was moving. See, he had a desire. His desire was he wanted that dollar. But in order to get that dollar, he had to do something to receive. So when you pray, you have to believe you receive it before you have it. So when you go to prayer, you've got to know who you're praying to. You're praying to God. Your faith has to be in God. And you have to... When you know it's God, you know that his character is good, you know that he's trustworthy, you know that whatever he says is true. So when you believe you receive it, you've got to believe you receive it before you have it. Okay? I want you to see this. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, comma, and you shall have them. So the having of it comes after the believing you receive it. Do you see that? And that works with anything that God has, that God wants to give you. Okay? And look at these words that he uses. verse 23, he says, truly. And he says, with certainty, definitely, he said, it shall come to pass. All right? He's using words that are positive, receptive words. Shall. You shall have. That is a powerful statement. What does it mean to receive? I was surprised at this definition. It's a Greek word called lambano. And this word means to take. It means to get a hold of. It means to accept. It means to attain. It means to have, to hold, to obtain, or to catch. Very interesting word. It is not a passive word. It is an active word. Okay? And before we end tonight, I'm going to give you four simple steps on how to receive. All right? So we know that we need to believe when we receive, right? You've got to believe. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21. Now we're going to build your faith on how to receive. How do we build your faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing the word, okay? As you hear the word, on receiving, faith is coming to your heart, and it becomes easier and easier to receive whatever God wants you to have. Whether it's salvation, healing, whether it's provision, whether it's a change in the circumstance, it doesn't matter. Guess what? We receive things from God the same way. The currency in God's exchange place is faith. And every one of us has already been given the measure of faith. And God deposits more faith into your account as you hear his word on it. Matthew 21 and verse 22. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing what? You shall receive. Say, I shall receive. Why? Why shall you receive? Because of what? Because I'm believing. Okay? And you're believing God. You're believing what God said. When I say believe God, I'm also saying believe his word. Because they're one and the same. Okay? So that's good news, isn't it? All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I like that very much. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received, the King James uses gladly received. I like that. They gladly received what? They received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now, would it be safe to say that there were more than 3,000 people there? Okay, this is the day of Pentecost. This is where people from every nation were in Jerusalem, and they were gathered together, and this is the moment that God chose to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And when he did, they spoke in languages, and everybody from all the other countries heard them speak in their own language. They heard Galileans who don't normally speak Italian speaking Italian. And, you know, the Bible lists all the countries that were there, okay? They that gladly received his word were baptized, and then there were added to them about 3,000 souls. So they received the word, they were baptized, and they were added and devoted. Notice verse 42. The ones who received the word, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. How come they didn't do that before? Because they never heard this message before. They got born again because they heard Peter preach words. And because they received the word, it brought a change and a transformation in their life. And because they received the word, they instantly began to change their behaviors. Okay? They began to do things that they hadn't, that maybe they did, but the Bible's very clear that these same who received the word, they continued in the word steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay? Let's go to Acts 17. Acts 17. And let's look at verse 11. And the Bible is describing a group of people called the Bereans. And they had just sent Paul and Silas away by night because they had some death threats. How'd you like to be a preacher and have to leave a place at night because people are threatening your life? But look at verse 11. It's describing these people. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they what? They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Why would the Bible pick these people out? Because how they received the word was different than how other people received the word. I mean, they received it with a readiness of mind, with an eagerness. Don't just take what I tell you as Bible truth. Listen, if you go out tonight and the devil shows up in your living room, you can't say because Pastor Doug said. That's not going to do you a hill of beans. You know? Now, I guarantee you that the devil knows my name, but my words have no effect on him. You need to be able to say, because the Bible says. So how are you going to do that? You're going to have to receive the word differently. You're going to have to receive it with a readiness and an eagerness. You're going to have to get into the word because why? Let me ask you this. When you guys get new clothes, do you just leave them in the closet and never wear them? How many get new clothes and just put them in the closet and never wear them? What do you do when you get new clothes? You wear them. Why? Because it puts a different step. When you walk, you feel good. It gives you a certain stride. Oh, I got some new clothes. They just feel good. Well, see, that's how we have to be with the word. If you really receive the word, then you need to honor the word. Because it's part of how we receive from God. God communicates to us. He reveals to us through his word. Now, there's other ways that he does it, but that's the primary way. I'm pointing out to you people who received the word. Okay? Go with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And let's look at verses 5 through 7. Now we know this story. This is where Peter caught so much fish that he was happy to go to the fish market. You know, imagine how much money he got for the fish he caught. But notice this. And Simon answering and said unto him, you know, Jesus tells him to launch out in the deep, and Simon answered, he said, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Did you know that you're never going to receive anything from God from human effort or from toil or from your own works? You can't be good enough to receive what God wants you to have. You can't do enough good things to receive, okay? Now, I want you to get this picture. Jesus tells Peter to launch out in the deep. Peter answers and said, "We have toiled all night and caught nothing." See, if you try to receive from God in your own human effort, you're going to fall short. But I'm glad that Peter didn't stop there. Notice what he said. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." So Peter, he said, yes, we toiled all night and we didn't catch anything, but I'm going to listen to your word. I'm going to receive your word, because Peter wanted a catch. In order to get the catch, he had to do what Jesus said. Okay? The catch wasn't going to come any other way. Now, Peter was a professional fisherman. He had a fishing partnership with James and John. He fished often. He had a wife. He obviously he had a house. He was able to support his family through his fishing business. Obviously, there were times when Peter caught fish, except for this time. He had to do it at his word. Now, Peter didn't feel like it, like some of us. When you saw that it was 6:30 tonight, you were like, should I stay or should I go? I know, I felt that way myself sometimes. Except I'm here, so I can't go. There wasn't anything physically that Peter could rely on to catch the fish. He needed to catch some fish. I mean, if you're working all night and you don't get paid, let me just say it in my language, that'd tick me off. I did all this work and I get nothing. The only thing that Peter could rely on was what Jesus said. And the instruction was simple. Launch out into the deep, lower your nets. Peter said, okay, I don't feel like it. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it simply because you said it. And when he did what Jesus said, he pulled out so much fish. I don't know if he ever caught that many fish at one time, in one night, in one throwing of the net. I mean, the net almost break. So he received by trusting God's word alone. He didn't mix anything with it. He didn't mix his feelings. Because I know his feelings were saying something different than what Jesus said. He certainly didn't feel like throwing those nets in again. Like some of us, when God says something, we don't feel like it. Well, then you have a choice to make. If you don't want to receive, go by what you feel. But if you want to receive from God, you got to override your feelings, and you got to do it because he said it. Amen? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. I'm talking to a group of receivers tonight. When there's a void in your life, you know where to go to get it and you know how to get it. If you went home tonight and all your windows were closed and all your doors were locked, how would you get in your house? And where are those keys? they're with you, or you know where they are, right? They're in your pocketbook, they're in your pocket, they're somewhere, right? Well, those keys give you access to the building. Now, you can't use your car key to get into your house, can you? Your house key is designed differently than your car key, and rightfully so. But scriptures are just like those keys that open things. They give you access. They help you receive. They help you get inside. It's cold outside. You don't want to stay outside tonight. You want to get inside where it's warm. And you got to use those keys to get in, because those keys are the only way that you'll get in. Other than breaking a glass to get in, but that's not fun. You may cut yourself. You may hurt yourself. It's so much easier. I mean, if you want to do that, you can, but it's so much easier just to use a key. First John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we what? We receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Uh-oh. You mean if I want to receive from God, I'm going to have to keep his commandments and I'm going to have to do what's pleasing in his sight? Absolutely. What if I don't do what's pleasing in his sight? You don't receive. Whatever we ask, we receive of him. It's always of him because he's the source. God is the giver of good things. All good and perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance nor shadow of turning. How many good things come from God? All good things. Okay? So another way to receive is to keep his commandments and to do that which is pleasing in his sight. Okay? Go to Matthew 7. Now this is really, really deep. And when I say deep, I mean it's really simple. I was just kidding when I said it was deep. Look at Matthew 7. And I'm just going to read the first seven letters, or the first seven words. Ask, and it shall be given you. If you want to receive, what do you have to do? Ask. Oh, Pastor, that's too simple. Yes, it is. It's not supposed to be complex. Why? God wants you to receive what he has to give you. He wants you to receive it. But it's really up to us. Did God not invite the whole world to be saved? How come the whole world isn't saved? Because there's so many people that haven't received the gift. Maybe they have the gift on the shelf and it's still in the package. They haven't opened it up. And Jesus shows up at the house. He says, isn't that the gift I gave you 3 years ago? How come you haven't opened it? How come you haven't used it? I don't know. So you can ask. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 29 and 30. Last two verses of Matthew 19. If you want to be a receiver, be a generous sower. Notice this. And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife... In the original language, wife isn't there. I guess you don't want to forsake your wife. Or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall what? Receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. What does it mean to leave your houses? When God called me, I was living in Illinois in my parents' house. God called me to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had never been to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I didn't know what was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But in order for me to go and follow what God told me to do, I had to leave Illinois and I had to travel to Tulsa. Because why? Because that's what God told me to do. So when God tells you to leave something, that's why I tell people, home is where my toothbrush is. If I got my toothbrush, it doesn't matter where I'm at, I'm home. We tend to put, let me tell you something, there are so many things in this world that keep us from following God. I can't follow God because of this. I can't follow God because of that. I can't follow. Well, then you're tied to too many things. After all, who gave you those things anyway? Notice what happens, though. I mean, Paul, he had to spend his ministry traveling. Peter had to travel, even though he had a wife. They had to follow Jesus. And Jesus traveled, he traveled the area. They had to follow him. Sometimes it's not easy. If you're called to be an evangelist, you have to go out and preach. You have to leave your family sometimes. You have to go. It's not easy. But notice what happens. You will receive a hundredfold, and you shall inherit everlasting life. So when you follow the instruction, you receive the reward. Isn't that awesome? And really, if you want to understand what a generous giver is, talk to Nadine. I have seen the spirit of generosity work in her life and bless her abundantly. I've watched it. I've seen it. So if you want to become a generous giver, set up an appointment with Nadine. Let her share her story. And you'll get enlightened. Amen? Now, I'm going to give you four things. Four little itty-bitty things that we can do to receive. How to receive. Okay? Number one, God gave you two of them. And they're to intake sounds. Right? You've got to hear. Why? Faith comes by hearing. Did you notice that faith doesn't come by having heard? If I was to preach on John 3:16 for two consecutive months, week in and week out, people would get tired of hearing John 3:16, but you know what? Faith comes by hearing, not having heard. Amen. If you get tired of hearing a verse, then you stop the flow of faith coming to your heart. Number one, you got to hear. Psalm 78:1 says, give ear to his teaching and his words. God wants your ears. If you read the Gospels, people heard of Jesus. Hearing of Jesus is hearing the word. Bartimaeus was blind. He was sitting by the roadside begging on the way to Jericho, but he heard something. He heard Jesus. And when he heard Jesus, something inside of him rose up and he began to press in to receive his sight. He knew that Jesus had his sight. He knew he couldn't find his sight anywhere. But when he heard the word, he began to cry out. And he got his sight. Just like Les got his dollar. Proverbs 4:20 through 22, attend to his words, incline your ear to his sayings, let them not depart your mouth, keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those that find them and health to all your flesh. So the word that you hear, that you incline to, that you keep on your mouth, it's life and health. How many want to receive life and health? Well, then you have to do something with your hearing. In Revelation, after each message to every church, he said, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, let them hear. You know, Jesus spoke things, and those who wanted to hear heard, those who didn't want to hear didn't. You know, when Moses went on the mountain, Moses heard God's voice, but the people heard thunder. Because they didn't really have ears to hear what God was saying. They didn't want to. Number two, with hearing, you've got to believe. The difference between whether or not you have or have not is what you believe about it. Do you believe that God said it? Yes, it's in His Word. I can show you the reference. Do you believe it's true? Yes, I believe it's true. Then take it. Just like Les took that dollar. It was available to anybody, but he was the one that came up and got it. You've got to be the one that comes up and gets it. Believe means you act. If you believe, you act. To believe means to be fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said was true and that God was able to do what he said. He was fully persuaded. You could not convince Abraham that he wasn't going to be a father. His body couldn't convince him. His doctor couldn't convince him. Sarah couldn't convince him. I mean, Sarah was quite excited at the fact. I mean, she said, shall I find pleasure with my Lord again? She was kind of, this is good. Believe you receive and you shall have. If you don't believe you receive, you're not going to have. The believing you receive comes before you having it. You believe it, you believe you receive it, and you touch it and feel it soon. But you got to believe you receive it now. Okay? And the third and fourth thing, they're kind of together. Obey and act. What did the woman with the issue of blood do? She touched him. What came out of him? Power or virtue. That virtue was there. There were lots of people touching him, but only one touched him in faith. Only one believed that her touch would make the difference in her life. You know the story of Elijah, 1 Kings 17? How did Elijah get from one place to the other? The Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying. And whatever the word Elijah heard, that's what he followed. The word said, go to the brook. Elijah went to the brook. The word said, go to Zarephath. He went to Zarephath. The word said, speak and command the rain to stop. And he spoke and commanded the rain to stop. He did whatever the word said to do. That's a good story about obedience and acting. Now, I don't care what you think about ravens, but if God said ravens are going to feed you, ravens are good. It doesn't matter what kind of bird they are. God designed them to feed you. Who are you having over for dinner, Elijah? Oh, I'm having some ravens. Oh, from Baltimore? No, they're a different kind of raven. Faith without works is what? James 2:14. So if you don't have a corresponding action with what you believe, your faith is dead. You've got to have action that demonstrates what you believe. Bartimaeus believed he was going to see, so he shouted. That's all he could do. I mean, it's not like he could run after Jesus because he couldn't see at the moment. But he could shout. He did what he could do. Okay? And then Joshua 1:8. Meditate in it, in the word, day and night, that you may observe to do it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. This book of the law should not depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. Why do you meditate in it? You're looking at it so that you can do it. But you got to be ready to do it. You got to be ready to do something. See, Les was ready to do something tonight. He didn't know that I was going to do that. I didn't know that I was going to do that until 10 minutes before service. But the Lord just put that on my heart. But that's exactly, God could have a dollar for each one of us. But if we don't get up out of our seat and get it, we're not going to receive it. Even though he wants you to have it so badly. But if you don't do anything, if you don't follow the instruction, you get nothing. But we are here to receive from God tonight. Now, whatever need you came with in tonight, God is able to meet that need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not our standard, not the world's standard, but his riches in glory. Listen, God can supersede the need. The need is no big deal for God. God is a good God. He's a generous God. He's a liberal giver. The question is, do we receive as much as God wants to give? You know, we sometimes we limit God. Well, I don't think God will do that for me. Right there, you're limiting God. My goodness, he died on the cross. Why wouldn't he do it for you? He came out of heaven to come to this earth. Why wouldn't he do it for you? He did it for everybody. But when you say words like that, you like short-circuit your faith. You're like the tin man who gets rusty. He can't move. No. You want your need met tonight? Then I want you to stand up. And I'm not going to lay hands on you tonight, but we're going to just take a moment. We're going to put our focus on God, and whatever he tells you to do, you're going to do it. Whatever that is. I want God to speak to your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you. And we have needs in our life. We need strength. We need wisdom. We need finances. We need a way out. We need a solution to this problem. We need some things to change. Well, God knows. He knows what you need before you come to him. Why does he say, come to me? Because that demonstrates faith. I want you just to focus on the Lord for just a minute. Disregard anything that's around you, behind you, in front of you, or side of you. And I want you to just praise God. And then I want you to listen to what he says to you. And I want you to do whatever he says to you immediately. Okay? Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page? Because faith is action, right? And you're receivers. And you're not going to let the spiritual dollar slip through your fingers this time. And I know there was only $1, but you know, Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are good and gracious and that you lead, guide, and direct us right now. Father, I ask you to speak to every person tonight. And Lord, tell them what they need to do in order to receive what you want them to have, what they're desiring to have, Father. And I thank you right now that I'm in a room full of believers. People who believe that they receive. And Lord, they're going to have it in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Bless your holy name. Oh, begin to praise God. If God says praise him, praise him. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. If you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Now, for those who maybe your faith is just in the early stages of development and you're just learning how to hear God's voice, you know, God is good and gracious and He'll help you. If you need a faith boost, for anybody who needs a faith boost, God's going to boost, He's going to jumpstart your faith. So if you need a faith boost, I want you to come up right now.